Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Zvachim Kaf Yud Gimel. We begin right after the Mishnah here, so it's five lines from the top of the Amud. Back to the beginning of the Mishnah, which taught us that the Parah Aduma that was burnt outside of its area, Chutz Migita, it's gas. Gas typically describes a recessed, like a pool, like a wine press, an olive press. It was the area in which they would burn the Parah Aduma. As we know, it was done outside Yerushalayim, outside the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, it was on the next mountain, Har HaZeisim, Har HaMishcha. But there was a specific area designated for this purpose. And if he does it outside, he's not chayev. Unlike a regular carbon, which was meant to be processed in the Beis HaMikdash and was taken outside, then there's an Isser, there's a Chiyah for a Sheichet, a Mala B'chutz, as we learned many times, but the Parah Aduma, which to begin with was meant for the outside, meant to be processed outside, even though it was done in the wrong location, Chutz Migita, he's not Chayiv. Because the Din of Sheichet, a Mala B'chutz, is limited to carbonates which are meant for the inside, as opposed to Parah Aduma. Now we're going to start off with a question. Try to define what exactly is this gust, this place that he missed. And it's going to lead us into an interesting discussion regarding the status of Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis Tuma, and going to lead us into the very fascinating discussion regarding the Mabul. Was Eretz Yisrael spared of the Mabul, the great flood experience in the time of Noach, or perhaps it was included in the rest of the world? Big Machlek is coming up. Okay, let's see. Ma'ay chutz megita, what does the Mishnah mean? The Parah Aduma that was burnt outside of the gas, of its gas. Amar Reish Lakish chutz makam abadiklo. It was in the wrong place. It was not in the area which was considered badiklo, inspected, to ensure that it's free and clean of any tumah issues, any graves, any dead, you know. So it was done outside of that area, which is not appropriate. Right? Nevertheless, he's not chayiv. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Says Rabbi Yochanan, what do you mean? This area is considered safe from tumah, and the rest is not? Well, like kolar is Yisrael badukahi. Kolar is Yisrael considered baduk. We know there was no tumah, no hidden tumah, no surprises. Elam Rabbi Yochanan, kigon sheshachta lefnim nechamis Yerushalayim. When the Mishnah speaks about shechting in the wrong place, burning it in the wrong place, it means like this. That he shechted it. Actually, interesting, Rashi, the Mishnah, changes it from shesarfa chutz migita to sheshachta chutz migita. Interesting. Interesting. Right, so lest we not consider it like a regular Sheikha Bechutz, right? Lest we consider it like a regular Sheikha Bechutz, we say no. And the Shechita, on a Parah Aduma, which to begin with was not meant for Yerushalayim, even though he did it technically in the wrong place, he's not Chayiv. So it's Shechta Chutz Migita. Comes to Rebbe and he says, what do you mean? It's not Badik. Is it a risk of Tumah? No, since when? Holy Yisrael considered free and clear of any Tumahis, any surprise, unknown Tumahis. They ensured that it was, rather Ella. What does the Mishnah mean that it was shechted in the wrong place? Ella Rabbi Yochanan King Shechta Chilafnim and Chaimis Yerushalayim. What happened was, the issue wasn't that it was shechted in the wrong, location on the Haramishcha. It was shechted inside the walls of Yerushalayim, which is totally the wrong place. That's the issue. So I would think maybe it's Chayiv. No, it's not Chayiv. Although it was the wrong place. Mishnah says, the Pasuk says, you take it outside, right? And take it outside. Right? Outside Yerushalayim. So even though he did it inside, he's still Pasuk. Ask the Gemara. Now, in order to bring out his point, he could have simply said, Velukma, he could have established the Mishnah as follows. Although it was done outside the wall, problem is, was the wrong location. Shalakinig the Pesach. It wasn't opposite the entry, the eastern entry of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the place you're meant to process the Parah Aduma. You're meant to do it outside, but opposite, facing eastern entry to the Beis HaMikdash. So perhaps that's the issue. Why do you have to bring it all the way inside? And, you know, that's what happened. Perhaps he stayed outside, but it was the wrong, wasn't lined up. Maybe that was the issue. Damar Rav Abba, Shochta Shleganega Pesach Psula. He did it in the wrong location. It wasn't facing the Pesach of the Heichal, right? From a distance, it meant to be, you know, lined up with the Heichal. It's a doorway. It's Psula. Shnamar Vishachat Vihizit. The Pesach said, you shecht and you spray the blood of the Paraduma. And we know, just like Ma Hazor, Asa Kenega the Pesach, just like the Hazor, the Pesach clearly describes as being Leichach, right, opposite the entry of the doorway of the Heichal, Avshchitosa Kenega the Pesach. Likewise, the Shchit meant to be that location. Perhaps Rabbi Yechon doesn't connect the Shechita to the Azor, in which case Shechita does not need to be in that location. So that could not have been, you know, the issue. But we have a discussion where Rabbi Yechon clearly does consider that to be the appropriate place. Shachta k'shalei k'neged ha-Pesach, Rechna ha-Psula. Shachat v'hiza. If he did it, shalei k'neged ha-Pesach, Rabbi Yechon said it's possible because we connect the Shechita the Yazor, Rosh Lakash Amar Kshera, it's still okay, El Mechus L'machna V'Shachat, as long as it's outside. V'tmer Nami, likewise, regarding the burning of the Paraduma, clearly Rabbi Yechon requires it to be directly opposite the Pesach HaHechel. So, Rosh Lakash Amar Pesach, Rabbi Yechon Amar Psula, it's possible, Rosh Lakash Kshera. Why does Rabbi Yechon invalidate it? Rabbi Yechon Amar Psula, V'sara Fehiza. Just like Hazor has to be in that location, likewise the burning. Rabbi Yechon Amar Kshera, it's still okay. Apir Shal Yisroif. So, the Sreifa takes place al Pirsha, and we learn Pirsha means separation, departure. Makam Sheparashas Lamisa, the spot where its life separates, meaning it departs, it dies, the place of the Shechita. Shamtei Sreifasa, that's where you know you could burn it. Rashi says, according to him, there's no specific location for Shechita. In any case, Rabbi Yechon certainly requires a specific location for Shechita and for Sreifa, opposite the Pesach HaHechel. So perhaps that's the mislocation in the Mishnah. So why couldn't Rabbi Yechon simply state that as the case, rather than go all the way back inside, took it inside? Even when outside would be an issue, if it's not lined. Amri, the answer given was like this. Yeah, you're right, let me buy you Kamar. Goes without saying. Of course, that's the most simple deficiency. Lomibay, of course, in the case of Chus L'chaima, where it was outside the walls, and in the wrong, you know, not lined up, the Ruchuki Raka, where, you know, it's further from the concentration of Kedusha, which is the, you know, the Makam Migdash. Right? So he took it further away. For sure that's possible. The point of Rabbi Yechon was to stress that even if it's inside the wall, which is even closer, the groovy curve, brought it closer to the focal point of the Kedusha. Perhaps Ematis Gash, or perhaps it's okay. Kamashman, the point is no. Did it wrong, it doesn't work. So again, if you process the Paraduma in the wrong location, there's no Chiv of Shchut Echutz. No Chiv of Malavachutz. Where exactly did this take place? According to Rish Lakish, outside of the Mokim HaBadak, according to Rabbi Yechonon, Badak, everything was Badak. Rather, it was in the wrong location, not lined up properly, or was inside the walls. That takes us into the next discussion. Amar. Let's go back to Rabbi Yechonon, who responded to Rish Lakish. What do you mean? It wasn't inspected. The entire country was deemed to be pure and free of any tumor. Amar. The whole Eretz Yisrael was considered Badak, had a status of being Tahar. But Michael Mithli, apparently Rish Lakish disagrees. What's the basis of their Machlekes? There's a very grand historical dispute here between the two Shittas, which relates back to Eretz Yisrael, to the Mabul. Mar Savar Yorad Mabul Eretz Yisrael. Rish Lakish holds that in fact the Mabul affected Eretz Yisrael as well. So the dead got sunk into the ground. Hence, there is always a concern of Tumah, even in Eretz Yisrael. Omar Savar, Rechon disagrees, Lo Yorad. There was no Mabul. There's no concern of surprise Tumah. Omar Ibn Achmar Yitzchak. Ushne mikrei chadarshu. Both opinions are rooted in the same pasuk in Yechezkel. Ben Adam, Amar lo. So when Yechezkel was criticizing the wrongdoings of the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, it's unbecoming of you. Ben Adam, Amar lo. Go tell the city, At Eretz loy mitarahi, loy gushma b'yem za'am. There was no rain in the time of the flood. Two ways to learn the pasuk. Rabbi Yechon Sabar, it was said in a surprising tone. Look, had you become so unclean? You were spared of the marvel. You were never tainted by that experience. You have no tumma like the rest of the world. Why don't you maintain your highest status? What happened to you? Reich Namar, Atmoikum Atamakro, the pasuk is wonderment. Is it a wonderment? Eretz Yisrael, look, your holy land, me, Leim B'taharas At. Don't you have higher standards from way back? You're tar, kluma. Yardu alecha k'sham yemzam. Since when? Did you ever experience the rains and the floods? How'd you turn into an unholy area? By way of your conduct. That's Rabbi Yechon's opinion. Based on no Babel. Rishal k'sham is just the opposite. Rishal k'sav ha-kipur k'pshate. Learn the pasuk in its simple form. It's the opposite. Eretz limit ra'at. You're unclean in the land. You also experience the rains and the floods and the impurities resulting from the marble experience. Eisvei, now comes Akash from Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yechon. You're telling me that Eretz Yisrael was deemed to be pure and protected from tumah. Chatzeres, hayu b'Yerushalayim. We all know, right? The Mishnah says that they would designate these youngsters, these young boys, in advance of the Paraduma, put them aside in this secure and sterile neighborhood, free of any tumah. They transported them to the Paraduma area with great care to preserve their status and protect them from any surprises. Apparently there was a concern of surprises, of tumah on the way. Chatzeres hayu b'Yerushalayim, there were these courtyards, b'nuyos al haselav tachtein cholol, right? So these neighborhoods in Yerushalayim that were built on solid rock. And not only that, they left like this gap, this empty hollow gap under the floor, just in case there's some sort of hidden kever in the depth, so there's no tumah coming up, right? Because when there's a gap, a tefach high of airspace, that sort of cuts off the tumah. So that was step number one. We'll be in Oshim Uboris. They used to invite expectant women. We yield us Megalasham B'nei to give birth in that sterile area, and they would raise their children in there, the para, in preparation for the para duma. Then when the time was ripe, maybe in Shvarim, to bring these large oxes, Al-Gabin Glossais, loaded up these flat boards, these doors on them, to an organization Aleim, on which they would perch these kids, protected, totally protected from any possible tumah on the way. Because Levin, Yadin holding these stoneware that are immune from tumah, Umilu B'yashim Kaiman, they would jump off. When they get to the spring, they would fill up water with water. And stay up. They would actually stay up there, right? They would stay up there. Yerushalayim would come and stay up on top. They wouldn't even dare leave their confines of their protected, habitat. Clearly, says Rish Lakish, there was an issue of some sort of unknown, hidden tumah in Eretz Yisrael. Amar Avinu Rabbi Yishua, Malo Osu B'Para, wasn't based on the letter of the law. It was a special Malo, higher standard that they applied to the Paraduma procedure, which was not really required based on the letter of the law. Eisvei. Here comes a kasha to Rish Lakish. Pamachas. Pamachas motzu atzomis b'lishus dira'etzim. In the Mesa Midash, in the chamber of the firewood, they found bones of a dead person. Ubig shul ligzer tumal Yerushalayim. And that triggered a hysteria. Perhaps I have to check the entire city to ensure that it's clear of any tumah. Omer Rishon Raglav Omar, he got up and he says, Loi busha uchlimahi. Isn't it shameful and embarrassing? Lona shenigzer tumal Yerushalayim to go and deem our city of our ancestors, which until now was deemed to be pure and protected of tumah, now we can consider it, relabel it as a place of tumah. And he exclaimed further to press his point. Where are all the dead of the marble? Where are they? Where are all the victims of Nechanetzer in Russia? Where are they? Apparently they weren't really concerned about them either, so this one-off should not trigger any hysteria. Now, let's analyze his expression. Midika Maharachi. The fact that he relates to the marble, where are they? Lavla memory, lehavu. Apparently, he meant to say, that there was no marble in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there was no concern. And likewise, let's maintain that non-concern. Okay, that's Rabbi Yochanan proving to Rish Lakish that there was no marble in Eretz Yisrael. Well, that's the Gemara, that's the first part of his question. What about the second part of his question? He related to Nebuchadnezzar, who certainly killed many people in Yerushalayim. That's a fact. Well, Tamech, according to what you're saying, how could he just disregard Haruga Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar's victim. Victims, Hachinamit Lahabu? Do you mean to say there were no victims then either? That's untrue. Elahabu, Upaninu. Apparently they were there, and they were cleared out. Hachinami, Habu, Upaninu. The same regarding the marble. There was marble. There were many victims, but they were cleared out. Well, V'ipanu. So if they cleared them out, Ho'ipani. So fine, so they're cleared out. So what do I mean to say that there was a concern of Tuma? I mean, what's the difference if they were never there or they were cleared out? Yeah, I can say Nidi Pani Mishalayim. True, they were cleared out of the entire city, but who says the whole Eretz Yisrael was cleared out? There was still Tuma in Eretz Yisrael in general. Mekul Eretz Yisrael Leipani, they didn't clear out the whole country. Yikudamri, there's another version of this discussion that Rish Lakish actually used this price as a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. So Bishul got up on his feet and he announced, he exclaimed his opposition. What do you mean? I may say Mabul, I may say Nebuchadnezzar. We're all the victims throughout history. My love. The fact that he's comparing one to the other indicates that they were both there. Just as Nebuchadnezzar was there, the Mabul was there too. Just as the victims of Nebuchadnezzar were present, Hanami Habu, likewise, they were victims of the Mabul. So clearly there was a Mabul. Midi area? No. You can't compare one to the other. How could he say? Two different references. It was sort of a double question. Regarding Nebuchadnezzar's victims, they were there, but they were cleared out. And regarding the Mabul, it was never there. Continues the Gemara with another kasha that Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan. Esfei. Here's the kash. The pasuk by the Mabul says everything was obliterated. All living beings died. Mikoy l'shebacharav. Anything on dry land, meisu. Everything died out. Which sounds like, including Eretz Yisrael. Which sounds like my opinion, says Rish Lakish. That Eretz Yisrael was affected by the Mabul as well. Bishlam lididit. Certainly according to my opinion, Damina, where I say that Yorad Mabul, that in fact the Mabul did descend on Eretz Yisrael, Mishum Machi Mesu, that explains why all died. Ela Lididach, but according to your opinion, that Eretz Yisrael was spared from the Mabul, Amai Mesu, why did they die? Why did the residents of Eretz Yisrael die? Mishum Hevla. The answer is due to the hot steam that affected even Eretz Yisrael. Although technically there was no water there, but there was the heat, the steam, which obliterated, which killed out all those. Because Rav Chizda tells us, the Amar Rav Chizda, the water was hot, generated hot steam, which, spread all around. The Amar Rav Chizda, Beroyeschen Kilkel, they erred, they deviated with heat. Beroyeschen Edenu, likewise, they were judged, they were punished, using the same or similar, hot material. Meaning, Beroyeschen Kilkel, they sinned with something that was hot. B'shichva Zerah, with the Zerah, when they deviated in terms of relations. U'Beroyeschen Edenu, likewise. They were struck down by the marble waters, which were boiling as well. D'chsiv, hacha, because towards the end of the marble experience, it says that it cooled off. Ayashayku hamayim. But Yeshayku means it cooled down. Apparently it was hot to begin with. Uksiv Hasama by Megillah, by Achashverosh, it says, V'chamas ha-melech shachachan, the anger, the heat that anger generates, cooled off. His temper calmed down. This is Achashverosh. So Yeshayku means to cool off. Apparently it was hot, and that explains why everything was affected, even Eretz Yisrael. Iked Amri, actually, according to the following version, it was just the opposite. It was Rabbi Yochanan asking Rish Lakish, Eisvei Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, based on this pasuk, Mekol HaShebacharav HaMesu, Bishlam Lididi, so according to me, Damina, who says, Lo Yarat Mabul L'Eretz Yisrael, Mabul did not land in Eretz Yisrael, Mishum Mochi HaVicharav, that explains the Lashna pasuk, where it says, all on dry, Charav means dry land, died, which refers to Eretz Yisrael, which was spared, which was dry. Ela ledidach, but according to you, Mabel was all over. My charava, what's the reference to dry? Charava shoysa miikara. It doesn't mean that it was currently, during the flood, that it was dry. It means everything on dry land, land that was dry before the Mabel, eventually was wiped out through the Mabel. Even Eretz Yisrael. But my charava lecharava. So what's the point of referring to dry land? I mean, if it was all covered by water anyways. The point is, as Rav Chisda, the Rav Chisda, Bedor HaMabel, Lenigzu, Gzer Al Dagim Shebayam, it's coming to exclude the fish at sea. So, the decree, which was meted out by Dor HaMabel, did not affect the fish. Shenemar, based on this pasuk, only creatures and people who live on dry land, Shenemar, Mikoyla Shebacharav Ames, only they died. But not fish in water. And the reason for this is because they did not sin. You know, they stuck to their type, to their min. Continues the Gemara. Bishlam lamando amar lo yarad mabul Eretz Yisrael. According to Rabbi Yechanan, that Eretz Yisrael was spared of the mabul. Hayna deka dekam reima. There was an animal called reim, very large, huge animal. So how did he survive the we know that the, you know, the species continued even after the Mabel. How did the how did they save themselves? They're too big for the for the teva. The answer is they hid out in Eretz Yisrael. Hayo the kum, that explains how the reima, the reim, stood and you know survived by hanging out in Eretz Yisrael. Hasam el laman de amar yored, but according to Rish Lakish, that even Eretz Yisrael experienced the Mabel. Where did the Reim hide out? Reim Mahecha come. Amrav Yanai. Noach took baby Reims and put them into the Teva. Small baby Reims. Amrav Yanai. Geroyes, little baby ones. Hechnisu b'teva. They took them into the Teva. Hence the survival of this man. Amrav Rabbi Rechana Ledi. Ask them more a question. But even the mini ones are huge, too big for the teva to accommodate. I myself experienced, I saw the Urzila, the Reima, Bas Yoyma, one day old, baby Reim, and it was huge. The size of Hartover. How big is Hartover? Aborn Parsi, 40 Parsa. Moshka de Tzavre, plus a Parsi, even the size of his neck, of the skin around his neck, basically just his neck area. Extends 3 parsa, closer parsa, marbata the ratio, the resting place of his head, parsa palgas 1.5 parsa. Ram makov, I saw that he tended to his needs. Vesocha yardenei, it was such an enormous amount of waste that it just blocked off, it dammed up the Yarden River. And you're telling me that they put it into the teva? I'm Rabbi Yechanan Reishai. Just the head of the reim was hiding in the teva, was protected. Ichnisul the teva. That's it. And soon the Gemara will deal with the rest of the body. Ask the Gemara, but even that's too big for the Teva to accommodate. Vamamar, we just said, Marbata the Reisha, Parso Pal, even the resting place of his head was so big. Ela Reish Choitma Yichnishal Teva means the tip of his nose, his nostrils, would be inserted into the Teva where he would have some fresh air. Ask the Gemara, but what about the rest of his body? First of all, if this is Rabbi Yechanan, why did Rabbi Yechanan have to even tend to this issue? There was no marvel in Eretz Yisrael to begin with, so he was safe and sound, even completely out of the teva. He personally doesn't hold to this whole question, but according to Rish Lakish, that there was a marvel, so he came to the rescue to answer that issue regarding the nostrils in the teva. Ask the Gemara, but how could you just hang on to the teva like that? The teva was bouncing around up and down the waves. But kasagi teva, the teva was just up and down. Amar shlokish kind of kashrub teva. He has horns, this animal, and he tied it to the teva, and he was sort of swept along for the ride. Ask the Gemara, but there was hot water all around. How could he survive the heat? Vomar chizda anshi deramavu. We just said they sinned with heat and they were punished with heat. Broischan kilklu, broischan idoin. How could he survive with this hot water? Tamech, now according to your question, what about the teva itself? It should have just melted by way of that immense heat. Right? It was coated with tar and it just, you know, melted away, dissolved. Teva echasagia, could the teva survive? Va'oid, oig melech haboshim, we know that he also survived. Teva kai, where did oig melech haboshim survive? Where did he stand? Ela nes naslam shisnan nubisi da teva, but there was apparently a miracle. Shenitztananu betzivi da teva, the water around, immediately around the teva, remained cool. So that explains how the teva survived, oig melech haboshim, and the rain. Ask the Gemara. Well, Rav Shimon Malakish, now according to this opinion, Nihi Nami, Diorad Mabel Eretz Yisrael. Understand that the Mabel affected Eretz Yisrael as well, right? But why are we concerned about, you know, we started our discussion regarding Mesim, a concern about Tumah phenomenon, Tumah materials present Eretz Yisrael because of the Mabel. But the fact is, even if Nihi Nami, Diorad Mabel Eretz Yisrael, there was a Mabel there, but Bavalei Posh, nothing was left behind. Everything got washed away to the low point, to Bavel. Damar Rishlagish, Rishlagish himself says, Lo manik Rishman Betzula, we find in the Pasuk, that Bavel is described as Metzula, this lowland, you know, Metzula is the, you know, the low of the lows of the sea, right? Where everything drains into that area. Shekol Meisei Mabel Nitzdal L'Sham, because all the debt of the Mabel just drained down to the Bavel. Nothing left there to Israel. Rabbi Yechon Amar Lomen Krishma Shinar. The word Shinar is also used to describe Bavel. Lashon of Ninaru. Everything was sort of swept into Bavel. Shekol Meisei Mabel, all the debt of the Mabel Ninaru L'Sham, was sent over to Bavel. I once heard that's why there is so much fossil fuel and oil, right, in the underground of Babel, of Babylonia, of Iraq, Iran, that whole area, of the the remnants of the Meisei Mabel, right. So in any case, either way, there was nothing left in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the issue of Tumah? Yefshad leidapku. Well, it's impossible, right, that there shouldn't be something, you know, stuck behind. Although the majority of the material did drain out to Babel, but something was left behind. Okay, on the topic of Shinar and Bavel, Amar Rabbi Yavo, Lo Manikro Shma Shinar. Another reason why Bavel is called Shinar, Shimena Eres, it shakes off, it empties out Ashirea, its wealthy inhabitants. Which means to say that they lose their money. Why? Because they're tight with their money, they're not giving enough, they're not generous enough. Asks the Gemara, Voka Chazina, the Havel, we find wealthy people in Bavel too? Tlasa Dori Le'mashka doesn't extend for three generations. It's a short-lived experience. Amar Rabbi Ami. So a person wants to conserve and preserve his, protect his wealth and his assets. Right? What does the Pasuk Mishnah say? Aser, give Meiser, give Stokah. Kadesha Tis Asher, right? It says, Pergiyavah says, it says over there, Siog, right? Siog, that's the Drash on the Pasuk. The Pasuk in the Pergiyavah says, Siyag, right? Siyag is a fence, protector. Siyag, Lashiris, what's a protector? What protects wealth, right? Maestris, right? Master and Staka, being generous, and giving Staka, giving Master, that protects wealth. Omer Rabbi Yame, Kolo Echel Mafar Shal Bavel, one sits down for a meal, to eat the, and eats the offer, the dirt of Bavel, the earth, kilo echel b'sar avoysev. It's as though he's eating the flesh of his ancestors who died in Bavel and were buried there. Tanam yachi, find likewise in a brayso, kilo echel mafar shel Bavel, want to eat the offer of Bavel, kilo echel b'sar avoysev. Yesh oimrim kilo echel shkatzim ramasim. Consider that as though he's eating, you know, creatures and non-kosher creatures because of the meisei mabel, because all the mabel material, all the creatures that landed in that area. Okay, in any case, the trigger point of this discussion was the Mishnah that he shechted, that he burnt the paras chatas outside the designated area, which according to Shlokesh means that they had a place where they were baidik from Tumah to ensure that it was free of Tumah, but anything outside of which was not really considered automatically protected. And this is in line with his opinion that the Mabel did affect Eretz Yisrael too, right? That the Mabel flooded Eretz Yisrael too, versus Rabbi Yechon, who said it was spirit of the Mabel, in which case he holds that um, that it wasn't considered inundated with tumah material, and halachically it was considered beduka, free of any tumah. Okay, now Mishnah speaks about another example of something which was shechted in the wrong place. Sarah Mishtalech, right? The goat, the chatas that sent out Sarah la'azazel, we know it's called Sarah la'azazel, it's sent out to the midbar and thrown down the mountain. So it's not really meant for inside the Beis HaMikdash, so it's if it's processed in the wrong place, there's no Isser, there's no chiv of shchutei chutz, right? It's not considered like a regular carbon done outside, because it's not really meant for the Beis HaMikdash to begin with. Now, interestingly, the Mishnah sources this halacha in the pasuk of El Pesach Oil Moed, right? The pasuk says, look, why'd you do it outside? El Pesach Oil Moed lo hevi, you failed to bring it to the Pesach Oil Moed. Indicating that only something which is roy, which is meant, which is slated for Olam Ma'ed, for the Beis HaMikdash, if done outside, etc. But as opposed to this one, which is never meant for the Olam Ma'ed. Ramini, we have a kasha from a Braisa, which provides a different source for this halacha. Okay, so the pasuk says like this: he failed to bring the carbon, right? And he uses the word carbon. The pasuk there uses the word carbon, lahakar of carbon lashem. So oy carbon, from the word carbon shemani, I would deduce afilu kachav dekabayis. Even if you took an animal which was meant for the building fund, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, not meant for hakrava and the mizbeach. Shenikru carbon, which is also called carbon. The word carbon relates to even that. Shenamar, as it says, when they donated, right? Vanakrav is carbon Hashem. So even donations to the Beis HaMikdash is called carbon. So perhaps if he processes that outside the Mikdash, it's chayiv? Talmud Lomer, no. Look at the pasuk. Vel Pesach Ohel Moed Lahivi. He failed to bring it inside. Something meant for the inside only. Misha Roy Lovel Ohel Moed. It's meant for the inside and taken outside. That's a problem. As opposed to this, which was never meant to be processed inside. Yotzu Kotcha V'Dekavayis She'enen Ru'uyen. Okay. Oitzi es Eilish. Okay, so perhaps I'll exempt just these. You know, the Kotcha V'Dekavayis. Because they're not really meant for processing on the Mizbeach. She'enen Ru'uyen. What about Soira Mishtaleach? V'lo Yotzi es Soira Mishtaleach. Perhaps I should not exclude the Soira Mishtaleach. Why? Because it does relate to the inside somewhat. Shuroi lovei el pesach oil moed. Right? There are two things done in oil moed before it's sent out. First of all, the goyro, the lottery system, to determine which one is for the inside, which one's for the outside. There was a pair of goats, one was for the inside. And secondly, kengadol didvidu, he confessed. So even the soyer, which is slated for transport to the, you know, to the midbar, first undergoes some sort of process in the Beis HaMikdash, goyro and vidu. And perhaps due to that interior connection, the fact that he relates to the interior somewhat, it is considered like a regular carbon, in which case if it's processed outside, it's considered shchut eichut, it's tamu leimer, no. Comes the pasuk with another word, lashem, carbon lashem. Lashem means shchut eichut only applies to something which is really meant lashem for the mizbeach, lahoitzi, as opposed to Sodom Shtalech, Shein Yuchel Hashem, which doesn't have that designation. So here we have this pasuk, as opposed to the pasuk of the Mishnah, which is El Pesach Oil Moed, two parts of the same pasuk, actually. But why is the focal point on that part, and here the focal point is on this part? The answer is like this. Likash, it depends at what point in the process we're talking about. Kan, when the Brayis sourced it in the word Lashem, Koidim Agrol. Before they did the lottery on this goat. So, it's going to be taken inside for the lottery. It's considered Ro'i L'Pesach Oil Moed to a certain extent. So it can't be exempted from that. Because it is included, it's covered by that phrase. The only reason why it's exempted, even during this early stage, when it's still slated for the inside, because it's not Lashem, it's not carbon Lashem. Because ultimately, it's not going to be processed inside. Kan lachar grolo. The Mishnah, which related to the first part of the pasuk, El Pesach Oyel Moed Lohibiyoy, indicating that since it's no longer meant for Pesach Oyel Moed, there's no din of Shchut Echutz, that's after the Hagrolo. After it went through the lottery, experienced the Hagrolo inside, Now it's no longer meant for the inside. So it's simply exempted because it's not Roy LePesach Chol Moed. Well, what do you mean? Achag Ro L'Ran, even after the lottery. Ha'yikavidi, what about the vidui? Which still needs to be done inside. Elam Rav Mani. Let me explain to you the answer. Lekash. Kan koidem vidui. Kan achar vidui. Very simple. The Brais, which exempts the Sur HaMashtaleach. Because of Karban LaHashem, that's before vidui. Technically, it still relates to the inside. Still needs to do vidui inside. Still called Roy Pesach Oyel Moed, but it's not Lashem. It's not Korban Lashem, because ultimately it's taken outside. The Mishnah is speaking about before, but after Bidu. It's done. So it's simply excluded because it's no longer Roy Pesach Oyel Moed. Okay, so basically everybody exempts Tzor Mishdaleach. The question is, what point in the process? And based on that, we have to look at a different, you know, part of the pasuk. If it's still before the process, still Roy LePesach Oyel Moed, then you have to come on to the Pasuk of Karban LaHashem. But if it's already done, it's on its way out, then it's simply excluded because it's no longer Roy LePesach Oyel Moed. All the best to you and Atzlacha Rav.